Hi guys, welcome to the Little Flowers podcast. I'm Wendy Wu.
And I'm Tilly Rose.
We have our best friends in the pod with us, our highly requested, where the hell is Megan Lane? Every freaking week. We have the Plattress girls with us. Hi guys.
Hello.
We're very excited to join you.
Oh, I've been wanting to talk to you guys about this book for a while, so this is definitely overdue.
Yes, we're so excited. So as you guys probably already know, it's very polarizing. People hate it or they love it. But if you're part of the LK world, you know, we said that in the beginning, Devil had something to do with Sebastian. Like,
yes.
Like, that's it. But people are upset. They are very, very mad. Holy shit.
Meg has gotten like high on other people's anger.
Me?
I feel terrible, but also I'm like, obviously it was his kid.
Yeah, I was like, we discussed that so long ago already. Yes. And then we were saying that maybe because Lane mentioned that Sebastian's dad was still doing his thing by the novella. So like we were like, maybe it's Sebastian's sibling, maybe.
But it was DNA with Sebastian, no question.
Yes. Shave the beard and it's an identical thing.
That's right.
When we were rereading the whole series, like she was like dropping Devil in every single book. Like there was Devil here, Devil this, Devil that. So it was crazy. But so you guys were not surprised.
No, we weren't surprised. We were not upset. In fact, I personally was very excited about it.
Yes.
because apparently I'm cruel and mean.
Meg admitted to me that she thinks she like in her head liked it more knowing how upset people would be.
I know it's terrible, but I was like reading it. And when I, cause she does a good job of like, she doesn't come out and like really say what it is. And the whole time, like if you're a huge Clavis fan, you'd be like, well, maybe it's his brother. Maybe it's whoever.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a cousin. Exactly. Because he had an illegitimate sister who had a baby. Like who, it could have been anything. But so, when he comes out and said it, and I was like, so excited.
I was like, do you mind
if I spoil it? She was like, no.
Well, as we know, I do not like formerly known as Saint Vincent.
That's what I was just about to ask Tony, what? Who loves Sebastian.
I love Sebastian. I love
him. How did you feel initially? Because I know you warmed up to it, but like initially, like what type of way were you feeling?
I wanted a perfect world for Evie and Sebastian, but I knew that it had to be them anyway. Because Evie was the one who's gonna, who's gonna be okay with it.
Yeah, and that's what we discussed. Yeah.
And in the book, that's how she was. She's like, it seems like she was my mom instead of like he was my dad. Kind of.
She was like more someone else to love. I was like, damn,
Evie's it was so good. It was set up in a way to be like as not upsetting as humanly possible. Like, not only did Keir have like the world's best childhood, not only was he. Not only is he heir to a title of his own, but Sebastian and Evie found out about him years ago. And so he didn't surprise them and they didn't have to emotionally process anything in the book. Like this was the most benign, illegitimate child story I have ever read. I don't mean that as an insult.
I loved it. I loved this book. I loved
it. It's like, so hard to criticize Sebastian for what he did. Like this is as much as a father can get off scot-free for having an illegitimate child, he does.
I think one of the reviews was because there's a line, not one, many, but like one of Sebastian's lines was like, if I knew about you, like I would have done the right thing about you and by you, blah, blah, blah. And everyone's like, hello, like Lisa Kleypas, did you have amnesia? Did you not remember before he met Evie what terrible person he was? Blah, blah, blah. I was like, wow. But it's so fun to read.
No, exactly. And I mean, look, I'm not denying that if he had found out that she was pregnant, he would have been like, whatever, and blown her off. Yeah. But if he had found out, like, because Keir was not that old, when he met Evie. So if he found out when he was like 5 years old, I think he would have been like, oh no, you know, find him. So I think it was, I think the criticism is legitimate, but I also think that what Sebastian says is also legitimate. So I do think that if he had found out earlier, he would have done something. Maybe not like while she was pregnant.
We were saying that, like,
definitely, like, had to be, he met Evie already, then he would have gotten up and looked for him.
Agreed.
He had to also, because he changed when Evie came along.
Given the time, and I'm not, this is not a defense of formerly known as St. Vincent. By the way, my cat's name is Sebastian, and he freaks out when he hears his name, which is part of why I always refer to him as formerly known as St. Vincent. Because I can't risk my hearing that and thinking it's playtime. It's not like me like refusing to use his name. It's very deliberate on my part for personal reasons. But I think given the mores of the time, passing this kid off as this guy's heir would have been what was best for the kid. Like, rather than publicly having him be an illegitimate byblow, having him raised as the heir to a viscountcy would have been the best thing Sebastian could have done if the father hadn't caught on.
And then, so that's why he got his own viscountcy. You get a viscountcy and you get a viscountcy. But like, I like, you know, you guys are saying that she set it up to where it was, he totally lived a very good life. Like, you know, it wasn't a sad orphan child situation, like, you know, Ethan, where, you know, so, which was, she had already done that. So it's not like she could repeat it anyways in the same series. I mean, yes, she could, but yeah, I think she handled it pretty well. But I'm with you guys. Like, when I was listening to your guys' episode and you guys were like, this is probably the funniest Lisa Claypass we've ever read. And I was like, I agree with that. Mm-hmm. And the whole beer thing being a thing, yes.
The whole everything. I've said this like 50 million times, but everything about that beard, like everything about it was funny.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was so good.
And like you guys said, that he was like boring, but in like the best way.
Yeah. I mean, he has a cinnamon roll.
I was so into him.
Yeah. 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 He is.
Like, if you had to choose a Claypass hero to marry, like, it would be him, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
You don't want like the tortured nobleman.
True.
I like reading about them.
Yes. True.
But I don't actually want to marry them.
Right? I want to move into Lane's house, the bowling alley that she was saying that she was making, the ducal estate.
I was just like, look, if I have that kind of money and that kind of space, add it all.
She's like, I think there's one somewhere around here. Just go find it.
What is the book with the bowling alley? There's like a whole makeout. What is it? The Prince of Broadway?
I've not read this.
No. It's a Joanna Shoup, so of course you didn't read it.
Well, la-dee-dee.
We're confirming. It's not the Prince of Broadway. It's someone after that. The Devil of Downtown.
Have I read anything by Joanna Shoup?
Yes, you read the one that you hated. the heiress effect.
Okay. Apparently people think I'm mean, you guys.
No way.
Who said that?
You are so hilarious. Like, you don't understand. Like, we get emails every single week on our Bridgerton podcast of like, when are Megan Lane coming back? When are Megan Lane coming back? So like this last episode, we like kind of ended it a little bit like, and then we're just like, and by high demand and request, we'll be back with Lane and Meg next week.
I'm glad that we made it work then, because listeners, this was really hard for us to set up a time.
I know. Yeah. But I'm glad you, because the Lillian part was my favorite. And you guys enjoyed it. I was a little nervous when you guys talked about Lily, and I was like,
because you know, we're pretty, I mean, me especially, pretty hard on Lillian, but I liked her a lot in this book.
Yeah, she was great.
I mean, you know, we liked everything except the end,
the epilogue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Lane liked slightly less than I did, but that was like the worst part. I don't know what
Lane was in it, and then she checked out a little bit, and then she checked back in, and then after a while, she's like,
I have nothing bad to say about Keir at all, or about Merritt. The two of them fucking rule. I'm angry that I hated the epilogue and the whole magic dick fixes infertility thing, but I also did not love the, instead of this big gunfight with her proving her competence in the end, it was a slapstick comedy with barrels rolling everywhere.
Yeah.
I was like, this is not a satisfactory ending to this, like, otherwise very touching immediate love story.
Yeah. Well, for the whole, like, infertility thing, I took it as, like, a misdiagnosis. Like, I didn't really take it as, because I, like you guys mentioned, she did go to the doctor, and I was like, what do men know about uteruses?
Well, like, I mean, that's a really good point.
Yeah, so I just took it as a misdiagnosis, and, like, you know, they were only married for a year and a half, so I've had friends who try for, like, 3 years before they can get pregnant, so that's how I kind of took it, more than, like, magic baby.
But it's totally... Yeah. The guy's fault, because they were talking about, like, Lamont? The Viscount, 4 years. It took 4 years, and he still didn't get Keir's mom pregnant. And then here comes Sebastian. So I'm like, okay, 4 years, one and a half. I'm like, okay, it's probably, like, the guy's fault, because a lot of people will blame the female. But how I kind of saw it too.
But I do agree with Sebastian being like, he's a St. Vincent. That was much. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if they had a baby in, like, the next book, whatever, I wouldn't have cared. But there was such a big deal made out of it in this one.
Yeah.
That's what was tough. It's like, so first of all, her husband basically kills himself because she can't have a baby.
Yeah.
And she's all like, don't worry, you can have sex with me and I won't ever have a baby. And then, then the lady on the boat is like, you're totally pregnant.
Yeah.
And then
also, it is really prevalent in romance novels.
Yeah.
Yes. It's so rare that women diagnosed as infertile are actually infertile.
Yeah.
Right.
And I just think that's annoying writing.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it also gets back at, like, what does it mean to be a woman, and what's the representation of femininity? And it's like this false angst. Like, someone is trying to kill him. What, like, her being infertile changed nothing about the plot.
Yeah.
So why make it a thing?
To me, I think it was because we needed to low-key vilify her ex a little bit. Like,
I was a little, that's
how I took that. It was just because he was such a piece of shit. Sorry, I said this on our podcast too, that he had to cross an ocean and see and not look at her face and deal with the problem that he'll never have an heir with his own friends, his own family, in his own land. I was like, what a fucking turd ball. Like,
He's garbage.
Yeah, no, yeah. I think that's more or less, that's how I took it. It was more of a, like, to show that he sucked.
Kleypas has an issue with that, right? If the person was in a relationship with someone else, the woman, was in a relationship with someone else, he has to be a terrible guy.
So terrible.
Right?
I'm thinking of Wynn's ill-fated Dr. Fiance.
Well, there's Wynn, there's
Amelia.
Amelia, that's right. He couldn't just be a guy who, like, anyway.
Yeah.
Yes.
He had to not only not choose her, but then also break into the house and try to kill the family.
Right. He wasn't just like a normal bad guy. He was like, he wanted to kill everyone.
Yeah.
He was a psychopath.
Yeah.
And then Lord Clare, Phoebe's dead husband.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, just let him be dead, you know? Yeah. I was like, why did he have to be a nasty guy? Come on.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. I think Fated Mates was discussing that. It's hard because, like, widow books, when you sign up to do a widow book, your publishers know it's going to be the lowest selling one in the series because people don't prefer that. So I feel like, I know. When I heard that.
But I'm thinking the Francesca Bridgerton.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there's so many people that don't like that book, which I whenever they tell me that, I'm like, we can't be friends. How do I unfollow you? Where's the unfollow? But But there's like, some people, Yeah.
There are so many people. There's so many people who still to this day are like, tell me, like they want him to be like the first and only.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm
when it comes to historical fiction, anyway, when it comes to historical, romance.
I personally am just kind of sick of it at this point.
But like you guys said, like her merit being a widow lets her have that freedom to look at Keir in his wet t-shirt contest and be like, hey, boo.
That's right.
I am full picturing like Marlon Brando on the waterfront. Like
with a beard.
No, I wasn't. I'm not a beard person. You know that.
I love beards. Yeah,
I was picturing him clean shaven even before he was clean shaven.
It's very interesting because that's what Sarah McLean was saying, that your public, when you do a series and you have a widow, your publisher automatically knows that it's going to be one of the lower selling ones and the most controversial one in the series, which is wild to me. And then
a lot of people like virgin heroes and heroines.
Yeah. It's when it comes to historical, I think that's just, you know, like, that's why I said Lisa Kleypas literally did all the tropes that everyone hates and threw it into a book. And somehow it worked. Instant lust. A lot of people don't like that, which I like. Amnesia. Widow.
I mean, I don't love Amnesia, but if you're gonna do Amnesia, do it for the 1 week that you knew the lady. I was like, this is perfect.
Yeah. I'm totally fine with that. Not like the 16 most years.
People would be like, oh, you only lost 1 week, but it's the 1 week that mattered.
Also, like, we can say we don't like Amnesia books. We've liked several.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those tropes that's definitely overdone, and when it's done badly is really eye-rolly, but at this point, it's a trope that I'd say I neither like nor dislike. When done well, I like it.
There's not a trope, because my trope that I try to stay away from, and then I end up hella liking it anyways, is friends to lovers. Only because I would never date one of my friends, but then some of the best books are friends to lovers. Romancing Mr. Bridgerton, like, you know, like, Just Like Heaven, like just so many of the friends and lovers are so good. Matthew Swift, well, that's more like
the only trope beyond, like, the only actual like basis of a book romance trope I don't like, which luckily we don't really see in historicals, is the accidentally knocked up and making it work. That I have absolutely no interest in, but like, right. You're not gonna see that in a historical, because fun fact, if she's accidentally knocked up by the Moors at the time, he's a bad person.
True.
Yeah. So there's that one. My one that I don't like as much is Second Chance. I don't like Second Chance romance. Cause I'm like, if I break up with you, it's like, I'm not.
Well, I think for you, you also don't like Marriage in Crisis very much most of the time.
No, but they're similar tropes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Marriage in Crisis is hard to read too, but I think Second Chance, I think I can't go through the breakup. If we're introduced into the story, kind of Sarah McLean did it really well with Day of the Duchess. Like,
I hate that book I cannot tell you how much I hated that book.
Yeah, so I enjoyed it, but then love the guy, a guy who is vilified, and then somehow you find a way to make him a hero. Like, that's one of my.
It is interesting because every time I say I don't like Second Chance Romance or Marriage in Crisis, people are like, no, but Day of the Duchess. And I'm like, no.
You're not helping my case, you guys.
I know. I don't actually know any other one.
Me neither. But
there's My Beautiful Enemy, which sort of is.
That's Second Chance Marriage. Sort of
Second Chance Romance. But it's like Fated Mates, Second Chance. I love that one.
Did you guys? I know you guys love spy series. Did you read the Inferno series by Galen Foley?
No.
There's a Second Chance Romance in there, and that one is really good too.
And I was thinking a Rogue to Remember, that recent one by Emily Sullivan. And I did love that one. That was also Second Chance, and I did love that one.
Yeah. I mean, you have to forgive the guy. He went to go save the country, you know?
Yeah. It's true.
But this came up in an episode I think that we've recorded but haven't released yet. Both of us get really annoyed. Like, our least favorite regularly used plot device is the characters just aren't communicating.
Yeah.
We're like, come on, if you just talk to her, there's no conflict here. But make him a spy and make him keeping a secret because he's a good spy. And suddenly, like, oh, yeah, no, he can't tell her. They can't talk. It's totally fine. It's totally fine.
Justified.
Yeah, I think when you guys were, when you did Hello Stranger, you're like, we love a good guy that has to do bad things.
No, I mean, look, there are two types of heroes. The good guy who does bad things for you or the bad guy who does good things for you. And Meg and I are always going to be into the good guy who does bad things for you.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, give me Keir cinnamon roll.
Yes.
Give me cinnamon roll, Keir.
Yes. I know. And I overall, I really love the book. Very much. Yeah.
I do. I kept smiling the whole time.
Exactly. It was just so much fun to read. And like I said, Chilean, it's one of the few Lisa Kleypas's I actually like laughed out loud.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Yeah. Love it.
Like honestly, I think what's going to happen is I'm going to like black out the last 30%. And like, if you ask me a year from now, I'm going to be like, oh my God, I loved that book. And then I'm going to get like 10% in and she's going to be infertile again. I'm like, motherfucker. Tricked me.
Maybe they close it up because like, they're not going to come back in another series. So she had to close up the whole.
Well,
why would she write a letter?
She wrote a letter about it. Did you guys get the Goodreads letter?
No.
Okay, you guys are so much better at that stuff than we are.
You're better than us.
I was like, okay. As soon as I got that letter, I was like, this book is going to have fucking nothing to do with the Raven Owls.
All right, tell us.
She said, dear friends, I'm so excited that Devil in Disguise is almost here, and I can't wait to share it with you. Every now and then, a minor character in one of my books sticks in my mind, and I can't help wondering what happened to them. I didn't originally plan on writing a seventh Raven Owl novel, but Lady Merritt Sterling had such a powerful hold on my imagination that she left me no choice. Since I've always loved stories in which opposites attract, I wanted to pair the aristocratic and well-mannered Merritt with a man with a very different kind of background. I think Keir McCrae, with his endearing pride in his Scottish heritage and his distinctive poetic way with words, is one of the best heroes I've ever created. To make the novel even more fun, there are some long-awaited appearances by the original Wallflower characters for readers who's been asking for some updates. I hope you enjoy this one last visit to the world of the Raven Owls. I've loved taking this journey with you, and I appreciate your support and enthusiasm every step of the way. Thanks for getting me through a difficult year. You consistently inspire me to do my best. Love always, Lisa. So after I read that, I was like, she didn't even mention that there's going to be your favorite Raven Owls are going to be in there. I was like, this ain't even going to be about the Raven Owls.
Nope. But they're going to be helping.
Yeah. I love that Garrett and Ethan were in it, though, and Phoebe.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean,
it's fine, but yeah, Garrett and Ethan.
We're so easy.
It's embarrassing. There's this one listener. She's not in Bookstagram, but she always talks to me and she's always like, oh yeah, you like the investigator and the doctor, right? I'm like, yes.
What's not to like?
Yeah.
She's like, I don't, she's just annoyed because she's still salty that Lisa Kleypas didn't do West's book first.
Oh,
so she's like, that book came out and I read it and I was like, what the fuck is this? I was like, no, I was like, you need to read it again.
Yeah.
Because they're the best.
Yeah.
Has Kleypas like said what she's doing next in terms of series? Is she leaving Hampshire behind?
I hope not.
She will never leave Hampshire.
Well, no one's leaving.
We were just discussing that, like maybe the Martin and the rest of the Shallans will get a series, but then it's like, it kind of puts it in tricky territory because then Marcus, St. Vincent, all of them are going to be like super old, you know? So like, especially since Ivo is super young, you know? So it's just like, yeah. I don't know if she can even go back into dipping into that without, unfortunately, someone not being there anymore due to natural causes. Like,
Merritt has five siblings, but then why make this a Raven Owl and not the first book of the new series?
Yeah, so I think what we were kind of discussing is that maybe Luke is going to be like the Cam of the new series.
I was thinking
so of the Hathaway series, like how Cam was for Hathaway. So
yeah. Are they going to bring in maybe like how they brought in a new family, like the Raven Owls, but have the old Yeah. Like Marsden's, and I still want Hathaway's like in.
I know.
Maybe the Hathaway kids will marry.
I think they have to figure out the whole like publishing thing. It's a different publisher. Yeah. Hathaway's is Saint Martin's Publishing.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that's why they're never mentioned outside of the series.
Because then if we get Cam in, then Evie's going to pop in. Oh, my almost brother.
I don't know. Not Cam. Me and Lane are going to take Cam. build us a ducal estate without being a duke.
Time to midnight. I was just like, yes, please. First of all, money just comes out of his pores. I'm like, who's going to look that in the face?
That's why I was like, he'll build us our ducal estate that we want with the bowling alley without having to be a duke.
He would be like, I'm never going to build it, and it would just appear the next day.
Yeah. He'll invest in some random land and a ducal estate will appear.
He's going to invest in like the bowling pin technology. He's like, this will never take off.
Or his money from the bike thing.
Oh my gosh.
And the rubber bands.
Yeah, rubber bands. But we love, mostly love, Devil in Disguise. If you guys haven't read it yet, check it out. We tried to not go into any spoilers. Just kidding, we went through all the spoilers.
What is your definition of a spoiler
episode? And I love your episode, Lane's like, I talked a really long time now. Press pause. But read it. It's I agree with Lisa Kleypas. It's one of her best heroes that she's ever written. He's the best. So read it, check it out. If you're not following us, follow us at Lit Wallflowers Podcast on Instagram. Lit Wallflowers is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts to love at frolic.media/podcasts. If you love love, like we love love, there's all kinds of podcasts for it. Even if you just love coffee, because there's a podcast about coffee. And how can everyone find you, ladies?
We are on Instagram at Plottress, Goodreads at Plottress, and plottress@gmail.com.
Yay! Thank you. Yes. Bye, guys.